Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, so now we are at part three of our hiring four-part series. Last time we left you with, okay, now you've given an offer letter. We walked through the interview process, our best practices with Brian with his six clinics, me hiring about 100 therapists in Arizona, and now as a solo cash practitioner. And now today we're going to say, okay, we want to give this person an offer, right? We like them. We're set up at the right time in our business to hire them on. We want to seal this deal, right? So the big thing then you have to say is, okay, I'm committing to something financially, right? So the biggest thing that we get in our mentorship group, our PhysioGrowth mentorship group, is do I do salary or pay per visit? And I think this stems from, if you are a new practitioner and you are hiring your first person or second person, you have a cash flow issue, right? You don't have five clinics that have four PTs that are producing regularly, right? So you're saying, well, okay, if I pay them per visit and I give them a margin, then, you know, I can take some of that and I'll make money off of this employee. So for my efforts of being the owner, and then I don't have to pay them for when they're not seeing anybody. So I don't lose money when they're sitting around if their schedule isn't full for the first month, right? Or we're doing onboarding. And then the opposite side of that is salary, right? Where you're saying, okay, I'm committing to you. You know, somebody, most candidates want safety and stability. So they'll say salary is something that they want. So this is kind of the big thing I want to go over to begin this, because it's been a hot topic for us, is when you have a good client, what makes you say salary? What makes you say pay per visit? Like, what's your thought process, Brian, when you're bringing in somebody at Evolution, or if you're counseling a newer clinician who's maybe making their first hire? What makes you lean either way? What do you like? What do you don't like?
I think the key, I mean, I'm a big, it's such a good debate, right? This is my take on it. I think that a lot of physical therapists want to say, hey, you know, pay me a certain amount of money and then I'll just, like, you know, pay me this salary that's less, then I have an upside. And then I'll hit the upside. But the problem is, once they hit the upside and they're capped, now what happens is, like, well, I want more. And as a business owner, the whole reason for why you did that in the first place was so that ultimately when they saw those amount of patients, then ultimately, like, you started making better money, right? So I've seen that backfire on PTs before. My take on it is salary is going to be the best way to do this. And if you want to create an incentive structure, cool. But most physical therapists that we've hired were on a salary, and it works out really well.
I will stand on that soapbox just to reveal my mask.
Yeah.
I think pay per visit is a recipe for disaster.
Totally.
You know, if you want to grow your company, you know, salary is the way to go. Now, how do you answer my next contention? But how do I pay them?
Yeah.
Right? They're sitting around. They're not making me revenue. I got a month or two I'm not going to make. What would you say to that therapist?
Wouldn't it be great if you somehow could listen to a podcast that could help you with patient acquisition, that could somehow make sure that you reliably got referrals, that you never had to worry about that, Owen? Wouldn't that be great if those companies existed?
Are you saying that you need a lot of volume and a wait list?
Wouldn't that make
thinking about hiring?
Wouldn't that make a lot of sense that if you, like, again, wouldn't it make a lot of sense that if I had people banging down my door and I was like, I'll pay you whatever you want to come in and treat these patients because I'll make more money, wouldn't that make people feel a lot less worried about salary? We keep saying it over and over again, know your numbers and know how many people you have coming in. Like, you know, when you see people who say, hey, why don't, like, I'm going to commit to you less, but I'll pay you more if you do that. What it means is you're responsible for building your own business within their business. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to get paid a salary, what's going to happen with you getting paid a salary is that you're ultimately going to just treat who they're bringing in. And so, again, most physical therapists working in somebody else's business will ultimately just be like, I want, I want to just be paid a salary for my time. Now, what I have found that we do a pay for visit is, say there's a salary for 40 weeks or 40 hours per week. A lot of physical therapists like doing per diem work. And so the per diem work, the per patient stuff they're not locked into, I found a lot of people who are like, I want to do the extra work for that stuff. And that's
They'll
been
do it like an overtime
awesome.
type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's great. So then people want to do overtime, and that's great for the clinic too. Right. And so people can make a lot of money. Now, not everybody wants to do that, but the people who do want to do that are great people to build around, by the way.
Well, and
Awesome.
I'll tell you why. To any owner looking, first off, yes, you need to have a wait list or you need to have sufficient volume. Now, that sounds like it sucks, right? You have a 40-hour a week job, you can pick up your kids, all that stuff. And great, if you just want a really good job, just raise your prices and
Yep.
congratulations, you've won at life. Like, good. Turn off the podcast, you're fine.
We
But
just
if
hold
you
on,
want
real quick, Owen. I don't mean. I'm gonna stop Owen there real quick. What
He doesn't
Owen
want
just
anyone to turn
said there. No, no, no.
off.
What Owen just said there, right? There is no shame in this, and me and Owen are both
Never.
believers in this. There's a bunch of horse shit out there of PTs saying, like, shaming other PTs because they have a really a more expensive job. Listen, if you've created something on your own and can turn it on and shut it off and make more money and raise your prices, there is no shame in that whatsoever. Congrats, you're doing a great job, right? So
That's why I
like,
say, congrats, you've won.
yes, exactly. So like, don't let people shame you. I hate that shit on social media. And I
Yeah,
think it's
I agree.
only hurting our profession, but nevertheless, go
So
ahead. Sorry, Owen, I
let's
don't.
say you want to grow, right? And you do pay per visit. Let's walk down that road because Brian said it quickly, but I want to really kind of emphasize this. I'm working for Brian, and he says you get $70 a visit, right? And I say, okay, great. So I do the math and I say, okay, if I can see like 25 people, I'm going to make $100,000, whatever the math is, right? Well, in Brian's system, I could see 50 people, right?
Yep.
So now I'm seeing 30, maybe 35. And all of a sudden, ooh, my per week is now 120,000, right? 130,000. Well, all of a sudden, Brian comes in and he's the owner and he says, well, I built all this around you, I bring all the patients to you. And you don't have to worry about, the business failing, what your loans are like all that stuff. You just have to show up and work, right? So, they did that at the beginning, right? They didn't see it if they weren't that busy. But now they are getting more than the owner, or they are basically being like a 5% or 10% margin, whatever you started out at that you could handle and they would take, right? Because that's the thing is what they would take is probably pretty high if it's pay per visit. All of a sudden, you as the owner, you're paying this one PT a bunch of money, and you can't do that. You know you can't because that's not enough for you to build out another clinic or buy more equipment or market or all the other stuff that's not patient care. And then you have to go to this person and say, hey, you're doing awesome. I love you as part of this clinic. Also, you're taking a pay cut. You
Yep.
know, not fun. That is a not, that is a almost recipe for them to leave, right? Now, if you look at salary, yes, you will likely have to work 60-hour weeks, their onboarding time, right? You're going to have a full, hopefully, you have a full wait list where you've already done the 60-hour weeks of keeping those patients, keeping the doctors happy, things like that. But there's going to be a painful few months, right? The nice side of that is when they're not busy, they can go market for you, right? They can help stuff around the clinic. They can maybe take patients off you so you can go market, right? If they're not a big marketer. And that's painful for like 3 or 4 months. No questions asked. But now, when they're seeing 50 visits, right? Because I say 50 for Brian because he has a 40-minute one-on-one system, not a 1 hour 40, one-on-one system. Then it's like, yeah, they're fine. That's what I've been paid the whole time. Like, okay, we knew this was part of it. So as a then you can make that number the margin that you need to do it. And I mean, there's a lot of evidence out there that it should only be 40% of salary, right? Your 40% of revenue is what the quote unquote good cost of people is, like cost of salary is. Now, in today's market, I would be hard pressed to find a PT owner who is doing 40%. They're probably closer to 50. But I mean, if you do pay per visit, you're not doing 50% of each visit, right? Like if you're Medicare in Arizona, you would be paying someone like, 55, $60 a visit. Well, they're just going to go get that salary down the street, right?
100%.
So you're having these numbers that, they make sense at the beginning when you're cash strapped because you're hiring too early. And then they end up with the guy leaving 3, 5 months later. Culture's terrible, and then you're back where you were before, right? And that's my breakdown of why I choose salary versus per visit. I'm sure there's great people out there that have had it work, and the conversation was good, but that is a low probability of success.
I also think something that you said very specifically in there was the idea behind, and again, I'm going to highlight it because Owen didn't really say it, but I also believe in this. He said if I have about 50 patients that someone's seeing, on a week, and our 40-minute patient slots, so think about this. Let's break that math down. So if I have, and I have a calculator as I'm playing around with it. The slots that I have open for a 40-hour workweek for a patient, a 40-minute per session is 60. So I have 60 patients. So if I have somebody see 50 patients per week, right, the productivity on that, right, is 83%. So again, when we talk about productivity, this is something that people have to be measuring so that they understand the hiring process. At 83% productivity, if I'm 83% productive, that means I'm seeing 53 patients a week or 50 patients a week. So if I'm doing that, then guess what? I want to hire somebody so I can offload some of these people. It gets easier and easier and easier, and there's more margin for error on that productivity amount once you get bigger and bigger. However, that was the big thing that I would say that Owen said. Once you get over like 80%, that's when you really want to be targeting that hire. And to me, measuring that is essential because it gives you more clarity in the business so you can operate properly. And that way, then you can also understand, all right, cool, I'm 83% productive. I know what my reimbursement rate is. This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. How am I going to, you know what I mean? And like by doing that, then you can back it off and then you can actually safely say, okay, like, well, the person's on vacation because they're going to take some time off. This is what it looks like. Like, I remember we were talking to somebody in our mentorship group, and they were talking about, well, they want vacation and blah, 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 and this stuff. I'm like, that, again, you nailed it, Owen. If you do not give it to them, there are 10 of the PT practices lining up to fucking give it to them. So the reality of the situation is you have to be competitive. And if that means that you're, and then again, when that person comes on, you need to make sure that you train that person properly. You have to have systems where the person's ready to go. You have to run an actual business if you're going to hire people. Because the reality of the situation is this. When people look at layoffs, right, and they look at Facebook or they look at all these technology companies and they look at when they're like, what's going on? Why are these companies laying people off? Now, AI is obviously changing the game on that, but for the most part, it's because they've overhired. So what it means is if you're at 50% productivity and you bring on a full-time salary PT, and all of a sudden you both are twiddling your thumbs, as the business owner, I got news for you. The problem is if you overhire, you're going to be like, I just have to fire this person. So if you're a brand new business owner, like someone like Owen who's trying to build up a reputation, and you have a limited amount of cracks at physical therapists, the last thing you want to be doing is putting yourself in that shitty position, right? And I pride myself on the fact that I've never had to lay off a physical therapist once because we didn't have the volume for them, right? And again, if you're saying, well, I got to get to that productivity, I'm not sure how to get there. I wonder if you could join physio-growth.com and go
Oh,
check out a
God.
group where actually you could help somebody, right? So like, for the love of God, like, this is what's crazy is like, people want to skip steps. Don't skip steps. That's the point. You got to, again, and that's what happens with that. So if you're trying to be a solo owner, I hear you. It's going to take a jump. It's going to be hard. It's a lot easier to take a jump if you knew how to actually get more clients for that person. If you know how to have systems where you could tell this person, hey, I'm treating some patients today, but this is what you should do. Boom, boom, boom. And this is how you should organize it. And this is how you should manage them. Right. And that's the next aspect of it. So that to me is huge.
So let's say now you've done that, right? You're good on your numbers, your productivity is right. You've done the math to realize, okay, what do I need maybe to get to like 40, 50% of salary cost, right? I think 30, 33 is like the gold standard, but like, let's just say, let's keep it to a level. You got to know your numbers for your margins, what you can do in your area. It's very clinic specific. And we haven't really even touched on benefits, right? Now, at some points, that's a big negotiation piece, right? And maybe if you're bigger, you have more options, right? But this is something I feel that most candidates are looking for, at least some level of benefits package if you're also, if you're salary. So you got to take that into account. How much does it cost to give them healthcare? What's your plan? Things like that. So you've run the numbers, right? And you've given them a good offer, a solid offer that you could actually work with them on, right? So like they come back to you and say, I want $20,000 more, right? Or they, the negotiation part is not just like, cool, I'm in, right? So like how do you handle that, right? What makes you say, screw this guy, I'm done? Or what makes you say, okay, I'll bend for that? What are some of the negotiation, not so much tactics, because I don't think you should ever hardball somebody you're going to work 40 hours a week with, but at the same time, like, what are some of those things that perk your ears up when you sent the offer letter and they send you back an email?
I think one thing that I've recognized that I really like in employees is when there's certain employees who say to me, like they understand the idea of if I want to make more money, I need to work harder. Right. And the reason I say that is I think there's a tiered way to approach how people can get like raises, how people can get like incentives in that way. And I'm not saying that everybody's financially motivated. That's not what I'm saying because people are all in different aspects. That being said, I do think there are certain physical therapists. In general, that, like I said, if somebody says to me, hey, is there room for negotiation on the salary? And then I have some added, work for them, I'll ask them, like, if we were supervising the clinic, like, would you want to do some of these extra work and we'll pay you for that work versus you going and doing it elsewhere? Because that is something I've seen a lot that runs a lot is people be like, well, I want to make extra money, so I'm going to do my hospital gig or I'm going to do my this gig. So you're going to do a job you hate. So what I would tell physical therapy practices is how about find other intangibles that you could actually pay them more money to do, right? And it's probably has to have a dollar amount to it. So like if you got to be getting paid for it versus like, I'm not talking about just marketing, like that's kind of included. But to me, that negotiation, it's no different than you're negotiating. Like if you're negotiating a sale, you're asking for people to trust you, right? And so,
I think something that you do really well there is that you guys offer almost like pay per visit on top of the salary. So you give them the foundation of like you have a salary, but then you either have your like, hey, I'm cool if you work an extra 3 hours on Thursdays, because you don't have to pick up your kid until later, and I'll just pay you for those 3 hours. But it's obviously if there's patients there, right? And then you also have done
That's a
stuff in the
key
past
piece, by the
where,
way. Sorry, Owen, I don't want to gloss over
yep.
that. That's a key piece that you got to manage as a person. So like as a PT practice. So like if someone's like, "Hey, I want to do X, Y, or Z thing. And I want to make sure that I'm like, treating some extra patients." And then obviously they treat extra patients outside of their 40 hours, but they're not seeing patients in it. Like that's also a recipe for disaster. So you got to just regulate that and manage it.
And that's it. Yeah. And that's, I mean, owning the business, you get to watch that stuff, but then you also get to make things like, I know you said in the past, like, hey, we had a therapist who was super interested in, I don't know, it was lacrosse or hockey or something, right? And you're like, great, if you want to create a webinar or you want to create like some workshop, and then that gets me more people, and you do that outside of your 40 hours, then yeah, I'll go in 50-50 with you or whatever the percentage is, right? Because you have to think, I mean, how much you're the space and the marketing and all that. And I think that's all part of the negotiation. I think any PT knows that if they're just going for the number, just go work home health. You're fine. Like, you're okay. And not to disparage someone who has a home health agency, but mostly they're corporate. And if you're looking as a private business owner that doesn't get the facility fees and doesn't get all that, POPS clinic stuff, you have to get creative, right? And you have to say, okay, how do I make this? And I think full transparency is the way to go. And just be like, look, I don't have the cash to pay you. We get this much because we're not the corporate whatever. But, I'm willing to work with you if we do this. I think any good candidate is going to be like, okay, I get that. Like, he's a stand-up dude. Like, let's figure this out.
And I also think like, listen, there you have to realize like if you're like, well, I can't pay them benefits or et cetera, like I got news for you then. You better come up on that salary because there are hospitals out there that have unbelievable benefits packages. You know what I
Oh yeah.
mean?
They have better reimbursement than you. They have better benefits negotiation than you. Like, you will not win that as a
No.
private owner.
And
You
the
have
rea
to win it on they like you, they want to grow with you.
and the reality is like we've had other people right in our group be like, well, it seemed like it was going really well, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, because like people might not say every single thing right there and with a stranger, because that's what we are, we're strangers, right? But then all of a sudden you start chatting with them and you're like, ah, damn, like I like what happened? It's like, well, if you're missing candidates, then something's off on either the culture or the benefits, the, you know, is it something with the salary? Are you low? Are you high? Or, you know, not the right structure? Is there PTO problems? Like, what's going on with clinical continuing education money, right? Like, there's a lot of aspects to that. So,
And I will say, don't be afraid. The big companies do follow up with candidates who said no. And they
totally.
just say, well, what was it? What do we lose? Right?
Totally.
It's an exit interview for an interview, right? And it's something that I think a small clinic owner, a new hirer, I should say, because I'm a small clinic owner, but I've hired a bunch of people. So there's people who come from different, walks of life into ownership. But if you haven't hired anybody, do not be afraid to call them. It is not a date. This is not your girlfriend dumping you. It feels like it. It absolutely feels like it. There's
For
that sense
sure.
of loss. I mean, some of the worst I've ever felt managing people is around the hiring process and is around the firing process, right? But don't be afraid to call and be like, dude, I get it. Cool. You either went with something else or something happened. Because sometimes it is a major life change. Like, look, I just don't want to move anymore. But just be like, hey, what didn't smell right? What didn't sit with you? Right? I want to get better. I want the next person to have a better experience.
And by the
I
way,
think
it
that's
takes
under, I think it's underrated.
1000%, dude. I totally percent it's underrated. And that's what I meant in our last episode when I was like, just call the freaking candidates. Because a lot of times I think what ends up happening is people are really afraid of rejection. And ultimately what ends up happening is like, I get that you might be afraid of rejection, but the reality is like you have to go through this process. You have to communicate as well as you possibly can. Like, you know, one note I have here for the end of this episode is walk through everything included. To your point, kind of go back to your original question is like, how do I, if someone's not an absolute yes, how do I then convince that person it can work for me? I call them and walk them through everything. Walk them through all the pros of what's working with us, all the cons of not working with us, all the things that are pros within the actual offer letter, what are differentiators, because you never know what big thing will swing one direction. And if it does, incredible. Because now that really what benefits do is the retention. It really helps with the retention side. So to me, that's a big part of this. So salary gets them in the door and the benefits are really the retainer. And there's so many different things that you can do on that front to negotiate, but ultimately, I totally agree with what you were saying in the sense of like, you got to plan. You got to be doing this before you need the hire. You got to be measuring what the plan is for the people coming in the door that you're actually going to give patients to the physical therapist to, right? Like, there's just a lot of X's and O's you got to have planned versus just saying, I think I'm ready. Like, it's more than that, way more than that.
And the sweet thing is, if you do this right and you get good at it and you hire two, I know the number with us was like two in a location in Arizona. It might be different for you guys, but eventually it becomes like, anyone you hire after that is just pure profit, right?
Yeah.
Where you've covered pretty much everything you need. And then it becomes, as a business owner, you start saying, oh, I want to step out of the clinic. I want to spend more time with my family. Honestly, it's nailing this. It's
Yes.
managing them while they're in the door and nailing this process. So hopefully this has helped you out. If you are thinking about this new, or if you've done this a bunch and maybe we've given you some good ideas to go home with. So if you want more from us, if you want to talk with us specifically about your business, physio-growth.com is the website. We host weekly Q&As. People seem to get a lot out of it. They're always on the call and
Yeah.
always asking questions. We always
Well,
go
totally. And, and for and for the
over.
next and for the next podcast episode, we're going to talk about is onboarding and building high performers. So the mentorship side of how you when you hire these people. So make sure to look out for that next that next episode, because we're going to be trying to figure out, like, again, now you've hired that person. Now what's a huge piece of it is the first month they're in there. Are you setting the expectations? What do the first 90 days look like? What are the values that you're going to make sure that you're taking on? What's the KPIs you want them to measure? What are the goals that you want them to create? All that stuff is huge. So that's a big part of it too. And again, for those of you who don't want to wait, go to physio-growth.com and schedule an appointment with us, and we can talk about it further.
Cool. All right, my friend, we are out.
Cool.
See ya.
All right. See ya.